south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. It seems everyone's concerned with getting residency in a Latin American country as soon as possible, and getting a bank account in Latin America, too. That said, I'm getting a flood of emails on the subject these days, and interest is definitely ratcheting up. I think everyone up in the States with a half a brain is starting to see the writing on the wall. They need to get that Plan B going. So it's my guess that about 1% of first world people have started on their Plan B, are somewhere along on it, and about 10 or 15% realize they better get a Plan B, but they haven't got one yet. They're just thinking about it. And another 10% are planning on, well, getting a plan someday. And around 80% of the rest of the first world people, well, they think the government's going to save them, or they just choose to avoid the subject altogether. Definitely not the kind of people I normally hang around with or even want to have a conversation with. Anyway, for that 1% who are working on that Plan B, well, good for you. You've seen the light. So, is it really 1%? Yep, I believe it's really that low. I mean, let's face it. If there's 1.5 million gringos in Mexico, people who are working, living, playing, or are retired there, that seems like a hell of a lot of people, but it's less than a half of 1% of the total population of America. And if you choose any of the other Latin American countries besides Mexico, you'll find there are only a couple of thousand registered gringos living in most of those countries. I know, according to the U.S. State Department, there are under 5,000 U.S. citizens living in Honduras, somewhere around 5,000 in Nicaragua, a little over 5,000 in Guatemala. We're not talking about tourists in and out now. We're talking about people who've got residency. I mean, really, these are ridiculously low numbers, considering that, for example, in Guatemala, there are 16 million people with only slightly over 5,000 North Americans. Anyway, as we've mentioned before, Uncle Sam is putting the squeeze on Latin governments, making it harder and harder for you to get your residency and almost impossible in some cases to get a foreign bank account. Now recall in the past few shows I've been talking about gringos coming down, getting bank accounts and residency, and we mentioned there are more and more hurdles and hoops to go through all the time. And we did cover a lot, almost all the possible permutations. At least I thought so until I received this email. Now listen to this, and I'll paraphrase as usual, eliminating as many four-letter words as possible. Actually, this is a combination of three emails sent by Honest Abe. Dear Johnny, I do have a Plan B and I'm trying to get my residency in a Latin American country. The problem is, a ding popped up on my police report, some youthful indiscretion, get this, 24 years ago. And when I contacted my Latin lawyer about this, he said, it may or may not pass muster. We'll never know until we submit the paperwork to immigration. However, if it gets rejected because you have a little smirch on the record, you're pretty much screwed. You can't reapply because now your paperwork's been processed and, well, it's in the system. As a result, you've got a permanent mark against you. So, Latin lawyers insist you have a completely clean police report or they can't guarantee success when applying for residency. Then, Honest Abe says, I've heard, though, that all is not lost if you have a mark against you on your police record. Now, this might be a little dodgy, but I understand I can pop over to an adjacent state where I've never been to court or thrown in the clink for drunken and disorderly, etc. Then, of course, I'd have to establish an address in that state. That's easy enough. Crash at a friend's house, whatever. Then, wait a day or two or ten and try not to commit any crimes. Get a sheriff's report there, and it should be squeaky clean. So is that against the law? Well, I don't think so. Though it might be walking the fine edge if I establish a residence there, even for a month, a week, or a day. Technically, I live there. Am I right so far, Johnny? Okay, it's me chiming in again. I always wondered, why do they say chiming in? Hate to think I'm chiming. Anyway, Honest Abe is right. If you go to your own sheriff's department and you pull up a bad report, DUI, crack dealer, flasher, whatever, that could surely put the kibosh on a residency application. But if, like he says, you pop over to an adjacent state and pull a report on yourself, hey, it works. I know people who've done it. And it's technically not illegal. Which is why, by the way, little by little, most Latin countries will only allow you to apply for residency with an FBI report. Big difference. In fact, I'd say about half of the Latin American countries will still accept a sheriff's report, though not for long. So the question is, will you have a clean police report? Why not just go down to your sheriff's department and pull one, just to see? That said, let's take the case of trying to get residency in Panama, Paraguay, or Ecuador. They now require FBI reports, and that report will show any charges filed against you and any time you have been to court. So, that said, can't you see now why it's really important to get that Plan B in motion? Even now, if you're planning on getting residency in a country that needs an FBI report, like Costa Rica, Ecuador, Panama, and Paraguay, just to name a few, if you have a smirch on that record, you're just never going to get residency. However, if you play your cards right, you can still sometimes slip under the wire in those other Latin countries that still accept sheriff's reports. Which means, suppose, for example, you have a nice organic farm and a beautiful house in Ecuador. Now, suppose you don't have permanent residency. Well, that means if you want to stay there, you have to go in and out of the country every 90 days, in perpetuity, whichever comes first. And let me tell you, these days, going in and out of a country border just to get that 90 days renewed on your passport is not as simple or as cheap as it used to be. I remember just 5 or 6 years ago, you could just pop across the border, have lunch at a restaurant nearby, walk on back through, get your passport stamp, and that was it. That's all you needed to do. But nowadays, countries are getting wiser. Actually, country governments are getting sneakier. They want you to spend some money. They know the scam. They know you're coming in and out just to get a stamp on your passport. So now they're putting on restrictions. For example, if you're going from Guatemala or Mexico to Belize, you have to show the immigration slugs at the border that you're staying in a hotel for at least one night. So you'll actually have to book a hotel and show them the voucher. Just telling them what hotel you're proposing to stay at is not enough. Because you see, people living in Guatemala or Mexico just used to pop into Belize for a couple hours and run back out. And the Belize government said, hey, let's make some money off these people. Now, before you start thinking, well, that's fair, it's really not, because Belize is one of those countries that makes you buy insurance for your car or vehicle as soon as you pop through the border. I know, some of you might be thinking, cool, that's all right. The only thing is, 99% of the people in Belize who drive cars don't have insurance, but they make anyone else driving in buy it. So they automatically get $25 from you, even if you're just driving through the country and never stopping. So you spend 1 hour in the country and you pay $25 just for car insurance. Yes, I know about all that because I've done that trip a number of times. I'll tell you what, it's a nice, relaxing, great scenic drive to go from Honduras or Guatemala through Belize along the Mexican Yucatan Peninsula, what they call the Mexican Riviera, through Playa del Carmen, Tulum, Cancun. It's actually a great trip by car. Well, it used to be anyway. I wouldn't recommend it anymore. Not only will you be forced to spend a couple of $100 in Belize, I guarantee you'll get stopped 3 or 4 times by the cops in Mexico, and that'll cost you a couple hundred. The fact is, if you're driving in Mexico and don't have a Mexican plate, you got one from another Latin country, you're gonna get stopped and extorted. I mean, let's face it. If you're from another country and you get pulled over, who are you gonna call? Ghostbusters? So anyway, the point being, if you can't get your residency in a country you want to stay in or invest in or live in, that means every 90 days you'll have to pop out of the country and spend some real money on hotels in an adjacent country. However, there is a loophole with every Latin country where you don't really have to go out every 90 days. You can stretch it out to 180 days. Because twice a year you can get your passport visa renewed at the local immigration office. By the way, in Latin countries it's called migración. Same spelling as migration in English. It's basically the word immigration without the IM in front of it. Migración. So anyway, astute expats that don't have their residency yet, they know that every 90 days, they do have to get their tourist visa renewed. And if they don't, as I mentioned in a previous show, you have to pay $1 or $2 a day for however many days you're over. However, twice a year, they let you renew it right at the Migración office, which will cost you around $50. Which means you'll have to head out of the country every 180 days, twice a year. Oh, for the good old days when you could just hand your passport to your lawyer, give him $20 and he'd walk it over to the nearest airport, and someone he knew inside would stamp it and you'd be good for another 90 days. Yes, it's true. That used to be very common here in Latin America, but now with computers all connected and stuff, that's not the case anymore. So expats that are staying in a particular Latin country are going to spend probably $150 minimum a couple times a year just running across the border and staying at hotels and such. Which means twice a year, if you go down to the Migracion office and drop $50, you're saving a lot of time and dough as opposed to popping across the border and back, like most gringos do until they catch on to the system. Though, really, after a while, that all becomes kind of a pain in the ass and you really want to get your residency, then you don't have to do any of that. Which is why I keep on hammering on that idea, you have to get your plan B. And that starts with getting temporary or permanent residency in the Latin country of your choice. Oh, and by the way, if you're going in and out of a country every 90 days, that uses up a lot of passport pages in a hurry. And remember, as of January 1st, 2016, a time that's already passed, extra visa pages will no longer be issued by U.S. embassies. In fact, it used to be you could just walk into a U.S. embassy anywhere in the world and they'd bind 24 blank pages into your passport. Did that a couple of times myself. But they don't do that anymore, and when your pages get filled up, you gotta get a new passport. Yep. Ching ching, another couple $100 for the old vomitocracy. And these days, if you're getting a new passport, it takes anywhere from 3 to 8 weeks. Unless, of course, you spend an extra, what is it now, $50 to get it delivered in 10 days. I suppose they'll be copying Amazon and calling it Old Vomit Prime. But I digress as usual. Where were we? Oh yeah, you've still got about half of the 20 Latin countries that still accept the sheriff's report as a requirement for getting your residency. But of course, I don't have to remind you that those doors are closing fast. In fact, I'd be willing to bet within 2 or 3 years, all Latin American countries will be requiring FBI reports for residency, and there's no wiggle room there if you've got some skeletons in the closet. Oh, and by the way, I got an email from a guy the other day asking me if a restraining order will show up on a sheriff's or FBI report. Good question. Does anybody know that answer? I don't. Again, it's all due to pressure from the U.S. State Department. They want to make it tougher and tougher for the sheep to leave the corral when shearing time comes. And if you're laying on a hammock on a Peruvian beach sucking on an umbrella drink, when it's shearing time up in the States, well, you can just flip them the hook. So anyway, Honest Abe says in his email, "Yes, unfortunately a ding did pop up on my police report from 24 years ago. I can pop over to an adjacent state and get a police report, but I'm one of those lucky guys who has a third option. You see, Johnny, I was born in a European country and have current documents from there, but I lived in the U.S. most of my life. I'm thinking I could just use those European papers I have to get my residency in a Latin country like Guatemala. That way, I can avoid being labeled a U.S. parasite altogether. So, do you think that would help? Or is my European citizenship viewed as badly in Latin America as are U.S. citizens? I know banking would certainly be easier if I used my EEU passport, but I do look and sound like a gringo." Okay, let me address a few of those things. Now, Honest Abe seems to be insinuating that U.S. citizens are looked upon as parasites down in Latin America. Sounds like he's thinking they don't like us gringos down here, which couldn't be farther from the truth. As I've mentioned many times in past shows, the only time you detect falseness or animosity at all towards gringos is when you're heavily on the gringo tourist trail, in places we've pretty much invaded and taken over. However, even in those places, there's nothing like a real resentment, it's just that they look at you as a dollar sign. So a lot of the friendly smiles you see are actually kind of staged and false, just so you'll give a bigger tip. In fact, in the rest of Latin America, the people absolutely love gringos. What do you think the gringo advantage is all about? But you'll have to get your boots on the ground off the tourist trail to see what I'm really talking about. So, it's true, there's an underlying current in some of the emails I get from people who never been down to Latin America. Or perhaps they have been, but strictly on the gringo tourist trail. They're convinced by the U.S. media that no one else in the world likes gringos anymore. And I still get emails from people wondering when the next big economic crisis comes and everyone takes a bit of a hit, if the locals won't go after the gringos with their blowguns and machetes. Well, you know, I just can't see that happening. In fact, I remember one young 20-something Latin guy, a middle-class kid whose family had just bought their very first car, a 20-year-old beater. Now, he and his friends were sitting around at a party and he was kind of the spokesman for them, the extrovert. And he told me that the goal of all young middle-class Latins was to get a university degree and get this work for a gringo transnational company. Like, are you ready for this? Walmart, McDonald's, or Monsanto. By the way, Latins have no distrust or suspicion of transnational companies. They actually think they're great. Another sign of an incomplete education, huh? There's no use talking them out of it either. They just don't get it. So, that said, you know by now I'm off the gringo tourist trail probably 95% of the time. And when I'm with Latin people and the subject of gringos comes up, they always say, why don't you tell your other gringo friends to come on down? Why? Because we bring money, we bring jobs, we bring culture, we bring details, and all the gadgets and technology that everyone's so much in love with. Guess where that stuff came from? So, when off the gringo tourist trail, gringos are admired like you can't imagine. But unfortunately, in most places on the gringo tourist trail, we've thoroughly worn out our welcome. And locals there, so used to seeing gringos, wealthy gringos, to them anyway, spending their money, it's easy to see why so many of them have become jaded and there's some underlying resentment. Just take a trip to Costa Rica and you'll see what I mean. However, off the gringo tourist trail, it's a completely different story. Except when you try to do banking. That's the only time you're persona non grata and treated like you've got some kind of contagious disease. Which brings us to the second part of Honest Abe's email. He says, in the rest of the world anyway, there's a big catch to being American and it's not good. Now, recently I was in Hong Kong, says Honest Abe, and I tried opening up a business bank account with my European country papers. As soon as we started speaking, the lady at the bank asked if I'd spent any significant amount of time in the U.S. I said, I used to live there when I was younger, but now I maintain my residency back in Europe. She asked me if I had relatives still living in the U.S., and I confirmed that I did. Then she replied, she wouldn't be able to open an account for me due to my, quote, ties to the U.S. So, the fact is, you don't even have to be an American citizen to get rejected for a foreign bank account. All you have to have is friends or relatives back in the States. That's not all. He says the next day, he went to another Hong Kong bank, this time with an attorney. And the very first question, do you now or have you ever lived in the U.S.? I said yes, and that was the end of it. They wouldn't even let me open a business account. And remember, all that happened when I was applying as a European citizen. But then again, I sound like an American English speaker rather than British. Anyway, all of this makes me feel like I should be in a hurry to get these things done. I feel like if I don't get down to Latin America soon, the banking doors will close on me too, European or not. Looks like as far as banking goes, it's not even good to sound like a gringo. And that's my story. Thanks, Johnny. Signed, Honest Abe. Yes, honestly, Abe, it's true. If you come down to Latin America, you can open up a bank account with ease if you're a European country citizen. Again, you're right, it's U.S. citizens that have a hard time. As you found out, that's true everywhere in the world. So, even though Latin America is probably the only culture and society left that appreciates gringos and holds them in high esteem, God knows we don't deserve it. Even so, Latin American banks don't want us to open accounts. Why? Well, of course, too many first world rules, regulations, and reporting requirements. However, do refer to last week's show to find out how to get around those rules and regs. Enough said about that. Now, let's touch a bit on the health aspects of living down here in Latin America. Something that everyone's interested in. Realize there's no scientific proof as to what I'm going to say right now, but every gringo, it seems, who has been down here for any length of time always feels better, has more energy, takes fewer medications, and even looks younger. Not to mention, we always lose some weight. Sure, once in a while we all get sick, especially those who like to eat that scrumptious street food that's loaded with bacteria and parasites. In fact, those of you who are watching this show on YouTube right now are seeing how ladies make tortillas down here. Sure, they're using natural ingredients, all unprocessed, homemade and all that. Except they're kneading the dough, which they call mass or masa here, touching everything in sight, never washing their hands, just occasionally wiping them on a communally used towel or humid and soiled aprons. Then they'll run their hands through their hair, scratch an elbow, rub a kid's head, talk on a cell phone, even pick their nose. Yeah, got a nice photo of that too. Then you might say, who cares? They're cooking those tortillas on high heat to a golden brown. killing off all the nasty bacteria and stuff. Well, you know what? You'd probably be right about that. And you'd say, Johnny, you're just being picky and over the top. Shut up. But then you hand them your dough. They grab them with those same unwashed hands, count them out individually like poker chips, and hand them back to you in a plastic bag. So if you could stop those ladies from fingering every one of those tortillas after you've bought them, you'd probably get sick only half the time. Not to mention, when they drop one on the ground, they should throw it away or give it to the dog, right? But they don't. And you wonder why, after 500 years, old Montezuma's still getting that gringo revenge. So note, next time you walk up to one of those wonderful tortillerias, that's what they call them. Note, too, that they take the finished tortillas and wrap them in a moist dish towel. That's to keep them warm, humid, and fresh. But note, they use that same dish towel all day. Each of the two or three ladies working there and their kids sticking their hands in and out of that towel maybe 200 times a day. Oh, and did I mention the constant presence of flies because there are no windows in these places? Now, tortillas are such a staple in Latin America that even the very high-end restaurants will have a nice basket of warm tortillas on every table. And note, if you stick your head in the kitchen, you'll see an indigenous lady or two sitting by that big-ass tortilla stovetop, making those homemade tortillas exactly like they do in those tortillerias on the street. By the way, off the Gringo Tourist Trail, you get about 6 thick tortillas for about 10 cents. And they're not lightweight and paper thin like the ones at Taco Bell. By the way, in the restaurants, the tortillas are always a little bit more sanitary because the ladies are not touching money. Sure, they've touched and counted every one before it ever landed on your plate. But unlike the little roadside tortillerias, in restaurants, there aren't a bunch of little kids on the floor screwing around with the dough and touching everything, as kids will do. Besides that, real restaurants have bathrooms and running water. And roadside tortillerias? Not necessarily. I know. A lot of you guys and gals who've been to Latin America are thinking, man, I love those tortillas. What are you talking about? Well, I love them too, but I don't eat them. Took me a long time to break the habit, but I finally realized I got sick too many times after the fact. Like Grandma used to say, you don't want to know how they make the sausage. By the way, this you will learn quickly. If you don't have discipline, they're kind of like Jay's potato chips. You can't stop eating them, and no one can eat just one. Oh, and speaking of gringos getting sick, if you're one of those gringos who happen to have been constantly afflicted with cold sores, fever blisters, or canker sores, well, I've got very good news for you. You can practically kiss those episodes goodbye. That includes those nasty canker sores you sometimes get in your mouth. It's true. Gringos do report a huge decrease in those episodes. And even if you were plagued with them up north, people report that sometimes years go by without an incident. Now, that's not to say that Latin Americans don't get cold sores, fever blisters, and canker sores. They do, but with extreme rarity. By the way, they call all three of those little afflictions by the same name, fuego. Literal English translation, fire. Fuego, fire. Says it all, huh? So when someone yells fuego, and they're actually smoking, then they're probably on fire. And you should try to put it out. However, if they say it with just a little bit of stress and edginess to their voice, it's a cold sore or fever blister acting up. Now, it's common knowledge canker sores, cold sores, and fever blisters have a component of stress to them. Enough said about that. So there you have it. Reason 2,426, why it's better here in Latin America and why you should get the hell out of the U.S. and get your Plan B in motion as fast as you can. And speaking of getting that Plan B going, there's still time to sign up for my July 2016 Expat Insider Seminar held in and around Guatemala. Almost all of it well off the Gringo Tourist Trail. So, where do you check it out and sign up? Just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2016 seminar link at the top of the page, and that's all you have to do. And while you're there, check out my friend John Galt's amazing pre- and post-seminar trips. Each trip, a 4-day excursion, boots-on-the-ground adventures you'll never forget. Oh, and one last thing. People talk about the great disparity in wealth up in the States. What's it they say? About 100 billionaires own about 50% of the wealth in the U.S.? Well, that might be true, but nowhere is the disparity in wealth more visually obvious than here in Latin America. Just drive through any decent-sized Latin American city and you'll see some perfectly first-world areas with shopping malls and parking lots full of upscale people and their SUVs. And 10 minutes later, you're in some of the dumpiest slums you've ever seen. Places, of course, you and I would never want to work, play, or live. However, as far as you think you can get away from that stuff, and you really can. The fact is, the people that'll be working for you, your maintenance guys, gardeners, cleaning ladies, maids, etc., unfortunately live in those dumpy areas, and they'll be commuting in to work for you in your nice first world guarded gated community. Which is why, again, I always say, don't contribute to any charities. The people working for you can be your charity. For example, you might remember a year or so ago, I mentioned that I'd sent my maintenance guy, who's been working for me for a long time, to my own dentist. He'd been missing his four front teeth for quite a while. Not a good look, except for maybe Keith Richards or Leon Spinks. Now, remember, he's the guy that asked for a couple of days off of work maybe 3 years ago now, because the electric company was coming over to install electricity in his house for the very first time. I mean, think about it. This guy and his wife raised four kids in a house that had no electricity till only 3 years ago. And you know what? The surprises keep on coming. Just yesterday, one of my friends, who's an occasional sports fisherman on the Pacific Coast, brought me a cooler full of frozen fish. He had so much, he had it filleted and frozen and was giving it away to his friends. He gave me a cooler full of this stuff. So yesterday, when my maintenance guy came around, I gave him a couple of pounds of this stuff, and he thanked me profusely, but asked me if his wife could pick it up the following day. I said, okay, but why don't you just take it with you now? And he said, well, I'd rather not, because it won't keep, and we'll have to eat it all tonight. I said, what? It's about 5 pounds, way too much for one meal. And then he said, yeah, but we don't have a refrigerator. So this guy's been working for me for a lot of years. And I didn't know till yesterday that he never had a refrigerator. Though I should have guessed, knowing he didn't have electricity in his house till about 3 years ago. And now I'm wondering what other common appliances he doesn't have. Well, I know for sure he doesn't have a washing machine. Practically none of the poor or the lower middle classes do. They wash everything by hand. And I'm sure he doesn't have a TV either, which is probably a very good thing. Now, this guy and his wife are around 40 years old. Imagine being that age and never having a refrigerator in your house. And to show you how nice and humble this guy is, even though he knows I have a spare apartment-sized refrigerator stored in a bodega, one that I never use, a few years back he helped me move it there, yet he never mentioned it. So, can you guess what's going to happen next? Looks like he's going to get a refrigerator. Okay, we're getting to the end now, so I'd like to remind you to check out my YouTube channel. You can check out the show and the wild and crazy pictures and photos that go along with it.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.